So over the weekend, Elon Musk was with the governors, and he said that AI is a fundamental risk to human civilization. You have to hear his speech. He's trying to get somebody to listen to him. I hope that he is wrong, but we should listen to him. And we also want to tell you about a story that I think is absolutely unbelievable. A couple moved from Thailand to Texas, and they started a mom-and-pop wedding dress store. They started it in 1983. 30 years in business, located in Garland, Texas. It was just shut down by the IRS, which they claim they owed unpaid taxes totaling $31,400. Now, the family says we don't owe the IRS any money. Plus, we haven't been convicted of a crime. But that didn't stop the IRS. Wait until you see what the IRS has done to this immigrant family. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is about a couple. They're both near 70. One's 72, the other one's 68. They moved to Texas from Thailand, and they wanted to live the American dream, and they have been, except they've been in business now for 30 years in Garland, Texas. The IRS says they owe them about $30,000. They say, we don't owe the IRS any money. We've never been convicted of a crime. 20 armed IRS agents came in, shut down the business in March, and they seized 1,600 designer wedding gowns. They told the couple they had to produce $10,000 immediately or the IRS would sell the dresses. When the couple said, we're not paying you, we haven't been charged with anything, and we don't owe you any money, the IRS agents sold all the gowns in 2 hours. Now, the dresses were worth $615,000. They sold them for $3.75 per gown. The IRS made $6,000 on $615,000. How do we feel about that, boys?
Efficient.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Government's doing a great job, aren't they?
They sure are.
They always do.
They always do. I don't know. This is such a strange phenomenon.
How could it happen in the United States of America?
How could it happen in Texas?
Yeah. It's outrageous. Not charged with a crime, not convicted of a crime, and yet they confiscate their entire inventory and sell it all. Just out of spite, it seems like.
The property has been wiped out. Everything that they had, they are now destitute. Everything they had built since immigrating to the United States before beginning their business in 1983 has been wiped out. Dallas Morning News reported the IRS said that they attempted to evade federal requirements by making multiple cash deposits under the $10,000 reporting limit. But the couple was never formally charged with breaking the law. So once again, it's the Patriot Act.
It's such a weird thing. They did this to Dennis Hastert, right?
Yes.
Which, again, it seems like he was very much involved in really shady stuff. But separate from this, he was taking out less than $10,000 because there is a reporting requirement for over $10,000.
Right.
But if you take out just under $10,000 too many times, that also becomes a crime.
We found that out during that Dennis Hastert case, that it's not so much the limit, it's the different.
Yeah, because if you do 9,500 or 9,900 a bunch of times in a row, they assume you're just trying to hide it.
Right.
Which may very well be true. However, if you have a standard Then what you're saying is it's very much Jennifer Aniston in Office Space, in which she would like.
That's just what I was thinking.
I think it's what everyone's thinking. You want 15 pieces of flair. If the rule is 15 pieces of flair, and she's wearing 15 pieces of flair, then she should
What's
be fine.
Right.
However, the manager keeps saying, "Don't you want to wear more flair? Is the rule higher than 15 pieces of flair? Because if it is, I'll wear more than 15. But if it's 15, I'm wearing 15." And that's what the standard. We're all in that situation.
From 2005 to 2012, the IRS took from people more than $43 million in 600 cases whose assets had been taken and not suspected of any criminal activity except for having made deposits slightly below the $10,000 threshold.
So weird.
The sure Treasury is. Inspector General for Tax Administration revealed a report from 2012 to 2014 that the IRS has seized more than $17 million from people because they engaged in suspicious banking depositing patterns. But there's
wow.
no criminal activity. None of them had been charged with a crime. Current law does not require the funds to have an illegal source. They could just come and take your money.
But that is so weird. To me, it's not even right for them to know that there is a bunch of these deposits to even think of an indication to further investigate, let alone just to convict on the fact that they saw a bunch of people.
No, Stu, we have to be safe from the Muslim extremists. We have to be safe from the Muslim extremists. You know that.
That has nothing to do with that, obviously.
Yeah, that's what it does. That's what this is for. This is not for anything else. This is to protect us from the Muslim extremists. And these guys who are in the bridal gown business since 1983 are clearly part of some Muslim extremist ring. Otherwise, it wouldn't come up on, you know, the Patriot Act allows this. But that was just for, you know, making sure that no money was going to Muslim extremists. The 68 and 73-year-old Thai couple, clearly Muslim extremists, selling wedding dresses, the perfect front. Everybody knows it.
Well, how many times have we seen owners?
Well, 600 cases where people weren't charged with a crime. So
yeah.
we know we've seen 600 cases doing that.
And then it's Connecticut, of all places, that has passed a law that is getting rid of this. This idea that you can go in and take people's stuff and without charging them for a crime.
Civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is the same as this. This is the IRS coming in.
Yeah.
It's similar.
It's similar, but I'm not sure it's the same. Civil asset forfeiture is they can come into your house and you don't have a receipt for the money that you might have in a safe, or you don't have a receipt for the money you have in your purse. And they can just take it because they suspect you of a crime. And so they say, just take it.
At its worst, there is a situation where they will come and take your stuff, not only without convicting you of a crime or charging you with a crime, not even without a real investigation of you potentially committing a crime. They can just take it. That's not the way it's always used. But, I mean, it is completely out of control. And conviction is obviously the standard here. The issue is they can still take stuff from you, but if you go to trial and they don't convict you, then they have to return it. This is a crazy step in the way.
This is nuts.
It's nuts.
It is.
This is not who we are as Americans. If we don't get a hold of this, I mean, God only knows what is coming next. I mean, if we ever hit a really bad situation, what are you going to do? We hit a situation where the government needs to clamp down. They'll control every bit of your life, every bit of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to say about it? We're not saying anything about it now.
Mm-hmm. We just had a story a couple months ago about a couple driving through Texas. They were going to buy a car. Remember this?
Yeah.
They got pulled over, and they had $10,000 on them to buy the car, and the sheriff took it. He just took it because they had $10,000 in cash.
Could have been a drug deal. But didn't we find out in that particular town? I mean, I can't believe we're saying this about America. In that particular town, didn't we find out that was something that happens quite a bit?
Yes.
And they threatened to take your child. If you say something about the money, they threaten to take your child because you're an unfit parent.
That's nuts.
What kind of country are we turning into?
And this is, goes back to what we've talked about every single case and every single story that hits the news today, is you have to have principles. This is a constitutional principle. You can't just have stuff taken from you by the government. This is pretty clear in the Constitution that you can't, the government can't just come in and just rip stuff away from people. That is not what is supposed to happen in this country. And I don't know if it's because probably 95% of the time it is used against people who are dealing drugs and are guilty of doing those things. But it goes to the same point we talked about with, the Philippines. That's it. It's an extension of that same principle. Well, you know, drug dealers are bad, and most of the time they are killing people who are actually drug dealers. So therefore, let's not make a big deal about this. That's how these things swing out of control.
But 21 cases out of the 252 cases, okay, 21 cases out of 252, those 21 were actual crimes. Out of 252.
It's even worse.
So only 21 of them were actually ever charged with anything. The rest of them just lost everything, and nobody said any.
Nope. It doesn't seem to be, there's not, you know, some of this would make some sense if it was easy for someone who's wrongly accused of something to get their stuff back. I mean, maybe you'd at least argue it, but I mean.
But see, this is the deal. We're not prosecuting anybody. We give them every excuse under the sun. How many times have you been deported? 60? Okay, well, we're going to turn around now and let you go. We make excuses for everybody. Nobody is held responsible for anything anymore. But this, we're holding you responsible for things you didn't even do. When you have Visa starting to put in their new program to go to a cashless society where they're offering businesses, I think it's $10,000 to go cashless. And you're seeing this now happen. There's a big story out today about how China is moving cashless. It is moving at a rapid, rapid pace. And everybody sees that as a good thing. Well, it sure makes this a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you only have digits instead of actual cash.
Yeah, you can't take anything out of the cash. All you have to do is just shut down your digits.
And that's the problem, right? Because everybody sees it as a good, well, I don't use cash that much anyway. So, you know, no big deal.
You already can't take, if you wanted to take all of your money out of the bank, could you do it today?
No.
You have to give them
almost certainly
notice.
Not.
You have to give them advance notice depending on
unless you only have $400 in
unless
there.
It's, unless you're you Jeffy, could. And then obviously you could. In fact, you do. Can you withdraw a negative amount? Is that possible? I don't know how you would.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's tried. If you had what the average bank account is, which is probably the average bank account.
Oh God.
$1,000 maybe, average bank account. You could probably take that out. But if you had anything,
if you have $100,000, you're not going to get that out today.
No way, you're taking
not
that.
Get out.
I bet
Let's
you
say that
can't
was your
take
entire,
it out.
Your entire life savings, and you decided you didn't trust the bank. If you went down there today and said, "I need my money out,"
well,
you couldn't get it.
I'm not sure that they would ever be able to. They would say that we have to call the Treasury. We don't have that kind of money at the bank. I would accept that. But I will bet you that you could not take that money out. Out of there with a briefcase in a week or 3 weeks or anything without some sort of harassment. You would pay dearly for doing that.
Definitely.
I saw a documentary about this in Potterville, I think it was.
Potterville?
Yeah, in Potterville.
No, it's not.
What is it?
No, it's not Potterville.
No,
I'm not helping you.
Okay.
I'm not helping you.
Just a shameless effort for a Jimmy
Stewart
imitation.
Yeah, Jimmy
Stewart
imitation. That was sad.
Wow.
That was
that
a
was
sad and pathetic.
That was sad.
I mean, really sad.
By the way, $2,900 for the median account, $9,132 average bank account.
$2,900?
But that money's not there.
You're working for Potter now.
That money's not in the bank. Right?
Right.
Right.
And that's what he said.
What?
It's not in the bank. It's with Jim and Sarah. You're going to foreclose on them? And I think that mean guy would have. He would have.
Because he was
have
a bastard business person.
Yeah, he was. He only cared about himself.
Yeah. He was trying to make a profit.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
I hate businessmen like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish there was a network that would show movies that hated businessmen like that.
All weekend long.
You know, where they do a month out of the year, maybe around Christmas, where they just show how evil the businessmen were.
It started this past weekend.
It was Christmas in July weekend.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
Was it Hallmark?
All weekend long. Yes, it was.
Yeah. So they're showing
Hallmark was doing Christmas movies this weekend.
It was on all day yesterday.
I was getting many tweets about how the Christmas cookie movie was on, and they was very similar to.
Anybody watch Game of Thrones?
No, I did not watch it last night.
But do you watch it?
Not enough to be able to tell you about it. No,
it's a big, obviously a big thing, and everyone watches.
We're into 7 or 8 seasons now, and it's been on for a long time. And people have been after me to really get into it, but I've got so many other shows, Glenn.
Yes, you do.
I can only keep up with
you. You're too busy with all the
rest. It is the golden age of television. Right
it
now.
Is. It
golden
is.
Age of television.
Do you watch it?
No.
It's very. It's quite risque.
It's a
I would
big guy show.
It's
definitely a big guy show. So you two may have to think twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw one scene where it was a great scene where some guy. The king threw somebody through a hole in the floor or something. It threw his wife or something through some hole in the floor down in the mountains. It was a weird... I enjoyed that scene. I thought that was really good, but haven't gotten into it.
The Glenn Beck Program.
We are back. Hello and welcome to the program. You know, talking about the digital currency and trying to get your money out of the bank, this is one of the reasons why they say Bitcoin is really starting to take off. And they look at things and say, gold is always known as a safe haven, but Bitcoin, people are worried even about gold or silver now because things are getting so crazy. And what is Bitcoin up to now?
It's over 2,000. It's actually down quite a bit from its real peaks, which was almost 3,000.
When was that?
A few weeks ago.
That's a few weeks ago. That's when I bought 3,000.
So it's down to, of course. So it's down to 2,000 now?
Quote unquote down to about a little over 2,000. Which is,
now's the time to buy it.
That's what I thought at 3,000. Yeah.
I mean, who knows? There's a big technical issue coming up in the next 2 weeks.
So we're doomed.
Which is a scary proposition for it. Not to go into too much detail on it because it's basically the most boring thing you could possibly talk about. But
so much of Bitcoin seems to be that.
It is. I mean, it really isn't.
It's really a crazy bet to make, in some ways.
But with crazy upside.
With crazy upside. I mean, it's the kind of thing you lose everything or you gain everything. It's really nuts. That's why you don't put your life savings in there, and you don't invest in it except for everything that you're willing to lose. You know, if you're a betting man, it's a worthwhile bet, that because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, hit about 3,000 about a little over a month ago. Now it's a little over 2,000. However, you go back just 3 months, it was at 1,000. So it's still up 100% even
it's
after
crazy.
Coming off of its highs. And if this technical issue winds up working out somehow, it could go a lot higher.
I read a story last week. This is crazy prediction, but Bitcoin, 20,000 per coin soon. I mean, because the world is so unstable and no one knows what is going to follow. Back in a minute.
Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
You guys see what Elon Musk said at the mayor's conference this weekend? The governor's conference. It was quite astounding to see him speak, saying we really need to do something about AI. He says that AI is is going to change the world, and not in a positive way. He says that AI is a fundamental, quoting, a fundamental risk to civilization. He says it's a fundamental risk to the existence of mankind. On the artificial intelligence front, I have exposure to the very most cutting-edge AI, and I think people should really be concerned about it. I keep sounding the alarm bell, but until people see, like, robots going down the street killing people, they won't know how to react because it seems so ethereal. He said we should really be concerned about AI, and that emerging technology presents a rare case where the government should be proactive in regulation instead of reactive to industry. By the time we're reactive to AI, regulation will be too late. Normally, the way regulations set up, a whole bunch of bad things happen. There's a public outcry. And then after years, a regulatory agency is set up to regulate that industry. There's a bunch of opposition from companies who don't like to be told what to do by regulators, and it takes forever. That in the past has been bad, but not something which represented a fundamental risk to the existence of civilization. Car accidents, airplane crashes, faulty drugs, bad foods are merely harmful to certain parts of society. But AI will affect all of society. I'm against overregulation for sure, but I think we better get that with AI. I really think we need a lot of government regulation here. Robots will be able to do everything better than us. I'm not exactly sure what to do about when machines reach their potential. This is really like the scariest problem to me. I lose a lot of sleep.
Clearly, he talks about it all the time.
Yeah. It's really why he's going to Mars.
Yeah.
I mean, most people don't really realize that. That's why he says he's going to Mars. He believes in
escaping
this.
AI.
Yeah, he says this threat is so bad that if humans aren't on another planet, they risk extermination from AI.
Every Elon Musk speech is like as the opening music is running in some apocalyptic story. Like those are they're showing these like old timey clips of some guy predicting terrible things, and then you just join the present day with like 12 people left on the planet.
Yeah.
He's
freaked out beyond even you, I think, Glenn. Is he?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't even. I know you've got fears and concerns about AI.
I am really concerned
about
AI.
And I have some too, but I'm not like Elon Musk over it.
The problem with AI is it doesn't think like us, and that's what we cannot predict. And we've just learned this from what is that Mahjong or something? What is that game? The Chinese game that's harder than chess?
Yeah, more complex. I don't remember, but it beats the masters at that game.
Okay, so AI remember when Big Blue beat, Kasparov? He accused IBM of cheating. And they're like, no, it's AI. But it took them like 3 years to beat Kasparov. So there's another game, this Chinese game. You're looking it up, Pat.
Yeah.
And it just beat the master, the grand master of this game. It's supposedly far, far more complex than chess. It beat the master, and the master said, it's an illegal move. You can't make that move. And they started going back and looking at it, and it's not an illegal move. It's just a move that no human had ever thought of, and it won the game quickly. And it apparently, they're saying now, that AI can beat the top 50 masters all combined at this game.
Is it Ki Jai?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway,
I haven't played it for a while. Yeah.
What do you think about his approach there, though? It's interesting in that, Elon Musk is a business guy, but certainly very friendly with government. Gets chunks of money every time he sells one of his products from the government. Also, is a fan, a big green energy guy, like certainly is on board for overregulation, even despite that last claim, at least in my opinion. However, if you go and you overregulate artificial intelligence, you wind up with what? Japan, China, Russia, who's leading the way instead of us? Because we're not going to be able to regulate
them. It needs to be a global It needs to be. I mean,
global
honestly,
governance, though, is what, the, what that.
Hang on just a second. We have to come up with something like in the movie iRobot, you know, the three principles. We have to come up with that. See, go back to the game. It doesn't think like we do. So they're saying now that AI almost has to be introduced to humans like a baby. And it's because you will say, wait, whoa, whoa, watch the furniture. And you will say the same thing. Hey, 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 be careful of the baby. And it won't know the difference between the baby and the furniture. It doesn't know So you have to teach it the value of everything that it's going to encounter. Well, we don't even know the value of life. We're having that discussion now. Life is sacred if.
Unless you're too young or too old or not
too
wanted
sick.
Or too sick.
Or don't have a.
Too poor.
Don't have a life worth living.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we heard, well, it's a, you have to have X, Y, or Z government program or life isn't worth living.
Right. So they're saying that it could quickly learn in a completely different way than we're expecting.
Yeah, and that's what happened. The game is called Go.
And, that's what it is, Go.
And so this machine called AlphaGo was taught how to play. And at first it lost, but it learned. Mm-hmm. And it developed this unusual style of playing that nobody else played like. And mm-hmm. so that's how it started. And the grandmaster, who was only 19 years old, tried to play in the same unusual style and still lost. So a little interesting.
Yeah, you want to talk about asymmetrical warfare. It's AI.
Yeah.
AI will have it will be so asymmetrical to our puny little brains and the way we think. And it will literally be introducing alien thinking to the world. It will not think like us. It will learn and think in an entirely new way, which will be great.
There are going to be a lot of positive ramifications of that, too, by
yeah,
the way.
It will be great.
Things that have stumped us, like cancer cures
yes.
and I mean,
correct.
Perpetual motion machines and
but
all the things.
We can't even as a society agree on basic things like what is truth? How are we going to teach AI absolute truth when we don't even agree with absolute truth? We don't even know what absolute truth. We have no boundaries on anything. If you can do it, you should do it. There is no such thing as good pain. There's no such thing as good failure in today's society. So what do we become? Elon Musk said the transportation job sector accounts for 4.6 million jobs. It's going to be the first thing to go fully autonomous. The robots will do everything bar nothing. Various technology companies are racing to build better AI systems to stay competitive in the market. Facebook with Messenger, Apple with Siri, Amazon with Alexa, some major consumer examples. Around the corner, AI-powered autonomous cars. Service companies like Uber that is increasingly waving AI into its ride-hailing app. Musk said, we really need the regulators to come in and say, hey, guys, we need you to take a pause and make sure we've thought this thing through. When it's cool and the regulators are convinced it's safe to proceed, then you can go, but otherwise slow down. Complicating matters is the fact that the biggest companies developing AI right now are publicly held, and stockholders will demand the company aggressively stay ahead of the competition when it comes to developing AI.
I don't know how you can regulate this.
Can't.
You can't. You could try to do something where you come up with best practices among the industries involved and try to, you know, set it down those basic guidelines. And you could try to treat them like nuclear weapons. That's the only other type of thing. And again, even that is obviously not easily self-controlled. But this stuff will start creating itself. It's successful, it's going to advance on its own, and you're not going to be able to stop it.
Here's what he said. You're going to see robots that will learn to walk from nothing within hours.
That would be something.
He said, while killer robots are easy to visualize, the most dangerous threat is the deep intelligence in the network. He said they could start a war by creating fake news and spoofing email accounts and sending out fake press releases as a way to manipulate information. The pen today is mightier than the sword. How are you going to outthink DeepMind? How are you going to prove that something? Remember, the Russians just perfected the picture of Neil Armstrong on the moon, except the American flag was replaced with a Russian flag, and the American flag was on his shoulder was replaced with CCCP. And they offered, I think, $100,000 to anyone who could prove that that had been manipulated. They now say that they have perfected artificial manipulation of pictures where you can't tell that that is not a real photo, that no investigation can tell that that's been digitized and recreated, changed. How are you going to, I mean, do you remember back in the 90s? You won't believe your eyes. You won't believe in anything anymore because everything will be fake and manipulated and you won't know what's real or not.
What I'm starting to fear is the actual willing start of that. In that, like, there's so much crap out there anymore, I find it more and more difficult to care about it. Like, I just, my answer to everyone lying all the time is to just not believe anybody and just blow it off. Which, as a society, is not a good reaction. Hopefully, I'm the only one doing that. But, I mean, I don't think I am.
No, I do not think I am.
You just wind up realizing, you know, more and more, so little of this stuff winds up mattering in your life that it's easy to just kind of blow it off, and then there's nobody guarding the gate.
So Jason, who works for us, he does research, and he came in. I came in this morning and went to his desk. He was working on something. He said, "Have you read Cheryl Atkinson's new book yet?" And I said, "No." He said, "Oh, you need to." He said, "A good portion of it's dedicated to you." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "She does an expose on how they really perfected and how everything changed because of you, how the left learned how to discredit and smear." He was telling me stuff. She did research on what they did to us, what they did to smear my reputation. I didn't even know half of it. And it's in her new book, apparently. And he said that she's claiming that it was how the left poured money into trying to discredit me.
That might be somebody we need to have on the air.
Yeah,
I think so.
We've had her on before.
It's apparently, I have not read the book yet. We should grab Jason and just see what he says, because it was fascinating in the, you know, in hallway talk.
Did she cover how they chose us to work with you to try to destroy you from the inside? Did they go through that whole process?
Shh.
Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK.
Talking about the president's poll numbers are down now, but they're going to go back up. I think this attack that he's using to go back and attack the press is actually going to work for him. This is the lowest numbers any president has had in this time in his presidency, at least in the last 70 years. I think that goes back to Truman. Does it not, Stu? Do you know?
Yeah, the story I read went back to Truman, although Truman was very obviously 1945 popular. But they just don't have the numbers before that.
We'll give you the numbers, what the strategy is and what the president is doing, what his surrogates are doing. And the press is just, I mean, did you see the handshake thing that they did?
Oh, God.
I mean, got it. Guys, really, seek some medical attention. Seek some medical attention. We have that, and how the left perfected this, coming up.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.